Blog Talk Radio.
Rebecca Smith is here.
Hey, Rebecca.
I can tell you this. Sitting in France at his house at the table is a whole lot better than sitting at that McDonald's table last night.
Oh, my goodness, yeah.
Oh, my goodness. Music ever a distraction in the background. I've often wondered why men of God said one of the greatest values of having their own jet was that they didn't have to have all of that distraction and the work of the flesh. You just like standing by me, don't you? That's all it is. You just like standing by me. I keep things you want to. Well, there you go. Welcome, Blog Talk Radio. Glad to have you all around the world, wherever you may be streaming from tonight. It's so awesome to always have you with us. And on some of these programs where we didn't actually make it all the way to Blog Talk Radio, be of good cheer. You can usually find us on Facebook or YouTube, one of the two. And it's not happened often, maybe five or six times. We weren't able to get it to you, but most times we'll be able to get it to you. Tomorrow morning, it's going to be pretty chilly at what time was it?
6:55.
At 6:55 in the morning for our sunrise service. So this is what we're going to do. It's 24 degrees. So this is what we're going to do. We're going to go, and we are going to – I'm going to do my best to stream it live on my phone. But I'm also going to have a second phone that's recording it, because recording doesn't take as much battery as streaming. And so I'm gonna record with the second device, so that no matter what, we've got a video, that's the ability to get it to you, so that you'll be a part of that program. We're going to talk about early in the morning on the first day of the week, and then we'll receive communion together. And it'll probably take us about 30 minutes, I would think. 20 minutes. 20 minutes is better on the battery packs. 30 minutes is better on the word. 24 degrees, 30 minutes is a long time.
Yeah.
So even if you're watching at home, dress warm. Anywhere in the area and you want to get up that early, all y'all come now, you hear? And it'll be a blessing. Bring some angeled eggs or something, and stick around for dinner.
For dinner?
I hear that.
And bring some steaks. We got to grill.
You're all welcome.
Anyways, tomorrow is a wonderful day.
Yes.
A lot of the church world celebrates Easter on Easter Day. But you and I, once we get the revelation of who Jesus is, we celebrate him every day of the year. And we rejoice in the work that he has done for us and in our lives in every way. So let's get ourselves started here. You ready? We will... Some of you didn't say too much about welcome or hi tonight, but it's okay. It doesn't freak me out just a little. Saturday night here at the Community of Faith, always a question and answer session. And of course, we kind of have that every day of the week, but we want to call it Saturday Night Live. Saturday Night Jesus is alive. I'm going to put Jesus in that because I don't want to be known anything like Saturday Night Live. But Jesus is alive in the question and answer session. And pretty much tonight we're going to deal with questions about what did Jesus do while his body was dead. And we've had several questions come in on it today. Mary just asked a question. So we'll be getting that in a little bit, and we welcome you to be a part of that. Let's start with our opening prayer and the Pledge of Allegiance. We always do. And that'll put us in a good, very good position so that, let's see here. Hold on. Wow, that's a lot of clicks away. There it is. And here we go. Rise together with me. We'll end our honor by saluting or placing your hand over your heart and make our pledge of allegiance. I pledge allegiance to the flag of the United States of America and to the republic for which it stands, one nation under God, indivisible, with liberty and justice for all. And now we'll have a moment of silence as we remember those who are missing in action, those who paid the last full measure of devotion, those who today bear the scars of combat in their spirit, their soul, and in their body. This moment of silence is in honor of every family of the fallen who will stand somewhere today, and they will remember their loved ones' life lived and service rendered. Moment of silence will last 21 seconds in honor of the 21 rifle volleys fired at the funeral of a fallen soldier. This moment of silence begins now. Now, if you will, join me in singing God Bless America. Now, I'll sing My Country 'Tis of Thee. My country 'tis of thee, sweet land of liberty, of thee I sing. Land where my fathers died, land of the pilgrims' pride, from every mountainside, let freedom ring. Well, that's going to take a little more work to get that because I got to have that special song. Anyways, here we go. Let me make this happen here for a minute. And now, our opening prayer.
And there's the introduction music.
Father, we pray this prayer and make this declaration as your children, the heirs of God, as the body of Christ filled with the fullness of God, as ministers of reconciliation, as ambassadors of the kingdom of heaven, by the power of the Holy Spirit. In Jesus' name, we, the community of faith, declare, thank you, Father, that you have filled us with your Holy Spirit. Flow, Holy Spirit, flow with your presence and power in our lives. We receive your guidance through this time of ministry that believers' lives will be changed forever, and that glory and honor may be brought to your kingdom through our influence today. In Jesus' mighty name, amen and amen and amen. Now, I want us to pray right now for every church service that is going to be functioning in the next 24 hours.
Yes.
Father, in the name of Jesus, as we prepare to go to the commanded blessing of unity convention, we speak over every church, every ministry, every Bible study, every member of the fivefold ministry who will be ministering tomorrow, tonight, over the next 24 hours.
Yes.
Whether it's a home group, a cell group, a home church, we declare in the mighty name of Jesus, even in the mega churches, may the presence and power of Almighty God manifest on this earth.
Yes. Yes.
We add our prayer and our faith, our prayer of faith, into the international network of prayer and faith. And we receive from them faith, and we add to their faith our faith.
Amen.
And we say, may God bless the body of Christ, the ecclesia, till we all come to the unity of the faith, to the knowledge of the Son of God, to a perfect man, to the measure of the stature of the fullness of Jesus Christ.
Yes.
Father, may miracles, signs, and wonders manifest all over the world. May people be delivered, set free, transformed tomorrow like it's never happened on a resurrection Sunday morning. May the name of Jesus be lifted high. The Bible, the word of God says that when we lift you up, Jesus, you will draw all men unto you. And once again this year, we lift up the name of Jesus. We magnify your holy name, Jesus. We thank you that you rose again from the dead, Jesus. And may revival break out all across the world by the faith of the people that are asking for revival every day. We know there's people that are naysayers that would say there'll never be another revival. That's just for those that don't want one. I want revival.
Amen.
We want revival. We want to see your spirit moving, not only in our own personal lives, but in the lives of everybody around us.
Yes.
Say this, I want all my children.
I want all my children.
Walking with God.
Walking with God.
Beyond anything I ever imagined.
Beyond anything I've ever
I
imagined.
I pray this in Jesus' mighty name.
Amen.
Father, bless the persecuted church. Those who this resurrection Holy Week season have had to whisper the whole time they talked about you. Help them bold. May their enemies not even be able to touch them.
Yes.
May the enemy run in fear of them and stop persecuting them, because the angels of persecution shows up and deals with the wicked ministers of the harm that they do to your children. Like you said, why to Saul of Tarsus? Why are you persecuting me, Saul? Speak it right now over them. May miracles, signs, and wonders, may spiritual leaders finally get saved. May political leaders get saved. May amazing miracles of forgiveness and blessing happen on this day tomorrow. And as it begins right now tonight, all around this world. In Jesus' name we pray.
Amen.
And amen. And amen. There we go. The commanded blessing of unity. Behold, how good and how pleasant it is for us brethren to dwell together in unity. It is the precious oil running down on the edge of Aaron's garments. It's like the dew of Hermon. descending upon the mountains of Zion.
For
there the Lord commands the blessing, life forevermore. Aren't you glad that it's not just a blessing? It's a commanded blessing.
Amen.
I think
Amen.
That there is a difference between a blessing and a commanded blessing. Because I love it when God commands you to be blessed.
Yes.
Just point your finger across the internet or the room at somebody and say, command you. Be blessed.
I command you to be blessed.
Friends that are God's, we command you to be blessed. In the mighty name of Jesus. Here we go, Ephesians 4. There is one body and one spirit, just as we were called in one hope of our calling. One Lord, one faith, one baptism, one God and Father who is above all and through all and in us all. But to each one of us, grace was given according to the measure of Christ's gift. Father, tomorrow, all across the body of Christ, the ecclesia, may that revelation register inside of people, and they may not even know why.
Yeah,
but that there's only one God. There's only one Father. There's only one Spirit. There's only one Jesus. May it register on the inside of the believers all over the world. And we get back to what you created us, Jesus.
Yes.
In the mighty name of Jesus. You're the head, and we're the body, and let's work together. Verse 11. And Jesus himself gave some
to be apostles, some prophets, some evangelists, some pastors
and teachers for the equipping of the saints,
for the
work of the ministry, for the edifying of the body of Christ, till we all come to the unity of the faith and of the knowledge of the Son of God. To a perfect man, to the measure of the stature of the fullness of Christ, that we may be filled with all the fullness of God. Amen and amen and amen. Just lay hands on your own head and say, be filled with all the fullness of God.
Be filled with all the fullness of God.
Be filled
with all the fullness.
Make it like a personal declaration. I choose to have all of the fullness of God.
To have all of the fullness of God.
Amen. Verse 14. So that we will no longer be children, tossed to and fro, and carried about with every wind of doctrine, by the trickery of men, in the cunning craftiness of deceitful plotting, but speaking the truth in love, may grow up in all things into him who is the head, Christ, from whom the whole body, joined and knit together by what every joint supplies, according to the effective working by which every part does its share, causes growth of the body for the edifying of itself in love. I bring my gift and my supply to this body of believers today. Use me to be a blessing to others. In Jesus' name we pray. Now, the prayer warriors and all the warriors, God bless everyone that's doing something to take this nation to the next level tonight.
Amen.
In the mighty name of Jesus.
Amen.
We join the voices of every great prayer warrior, patriot warrior, passionate patriot of this great nation. And we declare, God bless America. May God bless America. We hold these truths to be self-evident, that all men are created equal and are endowed by their Creator with certain unalienable rights. Among these are life, liberty, and the pursuit of happiness. And now we draw that same line we do every single day, all the way back to Abraham Lincoln. And we declare this great prayer of dedication together so that every prayer warrior from the founding of this nation to today, their prayers are effectively used. Here we go. Father, help us the living to be dedicated to the unfinished work which these fought for and so nobly advanced. Help us to be dedicated to the great task that remains before us, that from these honored fallen we take increased devotion to the cause for which they gave that full measure of devotion. We highly resolve that these shall not have fallen in vain.
We
declare this nation under God is experiencing a new birth of freedom right here, right now, today. We declare this government of the people, by the people, for the people, shall not perish from this earth. Long will our land be bright with freedom's holy light. Protect us, Lord, by thy great might. Great God, our King, forgive us of our sin, Lord, and heal our land.
We
seek your face. In Jesus' mighty name, amen and amen and amen and amen and amen. Now, get all of our pages in the right place.
All right.
Tomorrow morning, if you want to meet us in Jackson, Michigan, at 6:55, make sure you send us a message that you're showing up, and then we'll tell you where to meet us. It's a secret place.
The secret place of the Most High.
Probably McDonald's, where they got a big cup of coffee for $1. Anyway.
Clark's Lake.
What's it?
Clark's Lake.
Clark's?
Clark, yep.
Yeah,
Clark's
okay.
Lake.
Clark Lake. Anyways, so that's going to happen tomorrow. And then we'll have our 1 hour of faith at noon. And, you know, maybe you'll be eating at noon. Tell the whole family, sit down, shut up, and listen. No, don't say those words.
Don't say those words.
No.
Wait. What we've learned is that there's some people in this world, that's the only thing they respond to. Anyways. I had a question today that I will not make public, but I'll give you the answer publicly. All right. Remember that tomorrow with your family is not the time necessarily to bring up old family issues to try to solve them. If you're all adults and you're not solving them throughout the rest of the year, well, leave Easter or Resurrection Sunday, leave that alone. And have a good time around the table, enjoying the presence and power of God. Because if you've not been worried about it up till now, no reason to bring it up on this day and mess up a holiday where you could all be together and actually have a good time.
Yeah, that's meant to honor the Lord.
And then determine in yourself that you'll be the one that shows the mercy and the grace and gets everybody's heart healed. Of course, it's always up to them. But I say this on purpose. If you start talking about COVID, there's too many different views about COVID. Don't go there. You start talking about Democrat and Republican, there's too many views about that. It's just not going to be effective. Pastor, if they don't change, yeah, they're probably not going to change just because you have one more conversation about it. If they haven't already changed by everything else you've ever said, we've learned in the last 6 months, again, about three different times, you better leave the Catholic, non-Catholic thing away alone. And don't, here's your word about the Bible. Don't argue over words. That's what Paul said. Let the time together on Resurrection Sunday, if you're coming together for a meal, let that be a time of enjoyment and a time of happiness. And you be the one that say, oh, let's get away from all that strife.
Yeah, here, have a jelly bean.
let's get away from the strife, and let's just have a good time together like we used to have. Because have you noticed that there's just as many people are Democrats as are Republicans? There might be a few that's left. But you notice there's just as many people that's still wearing masks as, you know, and those that aren't. So I saw a meme this week that said that last conversation you had as a computer keyboard warrior didn't really change their opinion at all. And yes, I called that person a keyboard warrior. We were talking with Brother Dan earlier, and we said together, it's real easy to say here. Then when you walk out that door, it's a different story because you got to put it into practice, and you got to make it come to pass. It's one thing to stand in church and shout hallelujah, but can you be in a hallelujah mode on Monday through Saturday night and live in the joy of the Lord and live in the blessing of Almighty God? So my encouragement, even though I made the statement, sit down and shut up, all right, I was just messing with you. My statement is make peace tomorrow and live in peace tomorrow. And every time you get together with your family, getting in somebody's face is not going to make them change. Praying in God's face is what will help them to change. Because that's where you and I can bind the devil and see that enemy's power broken and then the truth come into their life and begin to set them free. And that's the power of God. And that's the wonderful things of God in Jesus' mighty name. I don't know. I hope that made sense to you because it made really good sense to me. Phyllis Raymond, Rebecca Smith, love you guys. Good to have you with us tonight. So let's pray again for the upper Great Plains. Father, in the mighty name of Jesus, we come again tonight. The forecast is another 5 inches of snow. And we know that that's everybody there is like, that's not what we need. And so, Lord, we declare right now, peace be still to the storm. We declare winds, peace be still. We declare temperatures stabilize in the mighty name of Jesus. We declare if there's 5 more inches of snow, it just falls straight down and just lays there. No more drive and wind in the mighty name of Jesus. In the mighty name of Jesus, we declare this will be the greatest, one of the greatest years of abundance that has happened in the great upper plains, and that every farm will be blessed. May all the cows produce all the calves, and may the wild horses have wild horses, and the buffaloes grow, and the antelopes too.
Amen.
May there be great blessing. We bless this great nation. In Jesus' mighty name, you told us to be fruitful, multiply, subdue the earth. and take dominion. Bless every man that's in a semi out there somewhere that's like, oh, my Lord, what did I just experience? Give him money in his pocket. Give him people that's wherever he's at to get him moving. Bless the road graders. Some of the toughest, most hardened guys there is, those guys running them graders. May the blessing of the Lord be in their lives.
Yes.
And the roads get cleared and everything get back to normal. In the mighty name of Jesus. Bless Resurrection Sunday with beautiful sunrises all over this world to give glory and honor and praise to your wonderful name. In Jesus' mighty name we pray.
Amen.
Amen. And amen. And amen. And amen.
So you got some questions to answer tonight, huh?
I don't know. Do we?
Yeah.
Are they coming in? Where are they coming in at?
We have Mary's.
Oh.
And then Dan and Gwen ask questions?
Well, Dan and Gwen. Dan is one of the mystery question answerers tonight.
Oh.
So, welcome to, I watched some music. Some screaming guitar music right now. And I got about five guitar guys that I've asked to do this. And one of them's actually going to come up with it. I know they will.
And a harmonica player.
And a harmonica. Brother Leo, love you, man. Where are you? We're missing you. All right. Ready? Saturday Night Live with Jesus. Questions and answers. We want to know if you have a question today, and we want to know if you have an answer today. If you have a question, God's got an answer, and if you got an answer, well, somebody's likely to have a question that it'll match. We welcome you to partake of this with us. And we've been studying all week. What went on in Jesus' life the moment that his eyes closed? And it's been a very good study. And last night was a good one. Night before was a good one. What was last night? It was Friday, Thursday. So Wednesday night was a good one. That would be the night when Jesus would have been crucified, was in his suffering. And so make sure you catch those programs. And then tonight we're going to kind of sew it all up because Jesus is alive and well.
Hallelujah.
Now, I did some study on this afternoon because the more I've studied it, the more I've actually found. At first I said, well, there just isn't much said about it. But how many know that that's just not our Father's nature not to say much about it? And what was an interesting part of my study that I found is that everybody has been listening to the church fathers. It's up.
Oh.
From like 1200, Martin Luther, all them guys back then. And thank God for the church fathers. I'm glad they're there. And they gave us a revelation in that day. Guys, we got to come to the revelation of what God has for this day. He's not hidden it from us. He's hidden it for us. And so what you and I got to do is to be continually studying and learn from all of them. As I was studying this afternoon, I literally heard people say, Jesus did not go to hell. That was a figurative speech. But you just prove how much of a student you are, because there's some very simple verses that says he did. And there's only one way that he could pay the price and be the sin sacrifice for us, and that is that he would actually have to pay the price and take sin to hell and leave it there. Now, that may not match your doctrine, but if you see it in the Word, we should always change our doctrine. What is doctrine, Pastor? Doctrine is a systematic group of verses put together to help us understand exactly who God is and how his kingdom operates. It's a systematic group of verses put together that you can get an understanding. So let's go to our regular verses we always go to when we are studying on Saturday night, Jesus is alive and well. 2 Timothy chapter 2, verses 1 and 2, and then 14 through 19. 14 through 19. 2 Timothy 2, 1 and 2, and then 14 through 19. 1 Samuel verse 6, the meaning of smote and emrods. 1 Samuel verse 8, about thither. Is that what was used to carry the Ark of the Covenant? James, thither means he carried them thither, like over there. And emrods, I'm not sure where that's used, but usually emrods is boils or diarrhea. One of those. Anyways, it's an illness like that. Here we go. Let's hold our Bibles up and we'll make our confession together. Thanks for those two questions, Brother Roger.
Yes, yes.
That's what makes us powerful. Here we go. Say it with me. This is my Bible.
This is my Bible.
I believe what God's word says.
I believe what God's word says.
I am what Jesus says I am.
I am what Jesus says I am.
Because he is the great I am.
Because he is the great
the Holy Spirit of God.
The Holy Spirit of God.
My resident teacher.
My resident teacher.
Is making his word come alive.
Is making his word come alive.
In my life tonight.
In my life.
I receive the word of God. Plant him as a seed
in
the good soil of my heart,
producing
a hundredfold return
in
my spirit, soul, and body.
In
Jesus' mighty name.
Amen
and amen. We're going to go through some real quick verses, so jump right in and study with us. 2 Timothy chapter 2, verse 1. You therefore, my son or daughter, be strong in the grace that is in Christ Jesus. Be strong in that grace. That means you're going to have to come to an understanding of that grace in order to be strong in it. All right? And the things you have heard from me, that's Paul the Apostle, among many witnesses, commit those to faithful men who will be able to teach others also. Ready? The things which you hear right here, remember this, commit them to faithful men who can teach others also. What did you get? You got four levels of the kingdom in those two verses. Apostle Paul, faithful men. No, wait, Apostle Paul, son Timothy, faithful men, others also. What is it? Everybody's discipling somebody and bringing them into the kingdom.
Yes.
And helping them know what you know and helping them find out what you found out. That's what this whole program is about every time we come here. Verse 14, remind them of these things, charging them before the Lord not to strive about words to no profit. Look at this next phrase, to the ruin of the hearers. I like to say this to people. Well, if you want to believe, once saved, always saved, believe it. If you really want to know God Almighty, he'll reveal himself to you. One person said, what about tongues? I said, I've never met anybody that would fast and pray for 7 days, very seriously, with no restrictions, no holding back, and say, I want to be filled with the Holy Spirit and have my heavenly prayer language. I never met anybody that didn't get it. Their heart is chasing the Holy Spirit. He's more willing to give you the Holy Spirit than you even are to ask.
Yeah, amen.
Why? Because he wants you to come to the understanding of who he is. Keep reading. Oh, my point about saying that is don't argue about words with people. That just doesn't work. It just doesn't work. I heard a great man say the other day, it just doesn't work. I actually went to a conference once. You know what they said?
It doesn't work.
Don't argue over words. Paul said a long time ago, it doesn't work. Isn't that something? Words to no profit, to the ruin of the hearers. Why? Because it, look at what he says. It produces strife. And what does strife do? According to the book of James, strife brings every other evil work with it. There's some people with their religious doctrines that'll bring some severe strife to you immediately. Hand it to you, put it on your shoulder, and knock it off just so they can knock the chip off your shoulder they just put up there. I didn't want your chip, so don't put it on my shoulder. Anyways, verse 15. Be diligent to present yourself proved to God. Now, naturally, before man will promote you, you'll have to prove yourself to man too. But if you're proving yourself to God, then there shouldn't be a problem with you being approved to man. Present yourself approved to God, a worker who does not need to be ashamed, rightly dividing the word of truth. What does that mean? Diligently studying the word of God until you can come up and be able to speak the solid doctrines of Almighty God and teach others also. First, 2 Peter chapter 1 and verses 19 through 21. We go to these verses all the time on our Saturday night live, Jesus is Alive. First, 2 Peter 1, 19 through 21. So we have the prophetic word confirmed, which you do well to heed as a light that shines in a dark place until the day dawns and the morning star rises in your heart. This is the prophetic word, 66 books. Knowing this, that no prophecy of Scripture is of any private interpretation. Anytime somebody looks at you and says, yeah, but you don't understand the real word of God, just ask him a simple question. Well, show me what you believe and give me 10 verses. I said that to two Latter-day Saint guys one day that stopped in and shoveled my sidewalk off when it snowed. Mm-hmm. And I just said, well, no, I need you to give me 10 verses why that's true. The man manifested like he had a demon. He started screaming right in my house. I'm like, well, you better stop screaming, number one, because I'll kick you out. You're in my house. Quit acting that way. What's wrong with you? You ain't a leader. He said, I'll go get my elder. I'm like, I don't want to talk to your elder if he's going to act like you. And the new guy said, I've just been thinking about becoming a truck driver. Because what was he going to do? He's going to argue words with me. No, all I asked him to do was show me 10 verses from Jesus. And, of course, he couldn't because he's teaching a false doctrine. Here we go. No prophecy of Scripture is of any private interpretation. For prophecy never came by the will of men, but the holy men of God spoke as they were moved by the Holy Spirit. Mark chapter 6. Mark chapter, verse 21 through 26. Mark 4, 21 through 26. Also, he said to them, is a lamp brought to be put under a basket or under a bed? No. Is it not to be set in a lampstand? Yes. 22. There is nothing hidden which will not be revealed, nor has anything been kept secret, but that it should come to light. So what you can get from those two verses are no revelation has been hidden from us. It has been hidden for us. Say it. Revelation.
Revelation
is not hidden from me. It's hidden for me. Verse 23. Here's the answer, though, to Revelation. If anyone has ears to hear, then use them ears to hear. He's not talking about these phalanges on the side of your head to hold up your sunglasses and your hat. He's talking about, does your heart truly want to hear the truth? And you're the one that decides that. Then 24, he says, take heed what you hear. For with the same measure you use to hear, it will be measured back to you. For to whoever has, to him more will be given. But whoever does not have, even what he has, will be taken away. And Jesus said, kingdom of heaven is the kingdom of God, as if a man would scatter seed on the ground. And what's the ground? The ground is your heart. The seed is the word of God. Matthew chapter 13, Jesus said in verses 11 and 12, he said, it has been given to you to know the mystery of the kingdom of heaven. But to them outside, it's not been given. For whoever has revelation, to him more will be given, and he will have an abundance. And whoever does not have revelation, even what he has will be taken away from him. Say this with me. Revelation.
You don't want to lose it. Revelation.
Is on my part of chasing it down. You know, the toughest time to chase down revelation is when absolutely none of it makes sense. And you know God's talking, because when does the Father ever stop talking to you? I know when it comes to my children, I've never stopped talking to them, even to this day, and they're both grown adults. Why? Because I'm the Father, and I've got to give the Father the advice that God gives to me to give to them. And most of all, it's chase God with all your heart. Amen?
Amen.
Greatest thing anybody's ever going to learn from you and me is chase God with all your heart, and you learn to hear his voice down here in your heart, in Jesus' mighty name. And now, oh wait, I better give you one more verse. Proverbs chapter 4. Can I get an amen from anybody tonight?
Amen.
Amen. Amen. Hallelujah. Proverbs chapter 4. 18 through 23.
Amen, amen, hallelujah.
Here we go. The path of the just is as a shining light that shines brighter and brighter, ever brighter, to the perfect day.
Hey, Dave.
Dave Collier, welcome. Good to have you with us.
Billiard.
My goodness sakes. I'm going to get your name right.
Collier.
Brother,
Angel's
that's, name. Yeah. Hey, Dave. How you doing, bro? Here we go. Somehow I got away from it. There you go. Watch this. Proverbs 4, 18 through 23. I'm in 19. The way of the wicked is like darkness. They do not know what makes them stumble. And they do stumble, don't they?
They do, yeah.
Oh, my goodness sakes alive. Have we seen people stumbling? And Many of them, they've stumbled so long, they do not even know. They don't even know they're stumbling.
They don't.
They've been bound in it so long. Verse 20, my son, give attention to my words. Incline your ear to my sayings. Do not let them depart from your eyes. Keep them in the midst of your heart, for they are life to those who find them and health to all their flesh. The word of God is life to everyone who finds them, and they are health to all your flesh. Just look at your flesh and say, receive the health of God.
Amen. Receive the health of God.
When you read this book out loud, your very flesh receives life to it. Jesus, the living word, is coming into your eyes, into your ears, and out your mouth. Therefore, as your vessel produces that, and out of your belly flows rivers of living water, living, life-filled water flows out of you every day by the power of the Holy Spirit. And that is what we're getting ready to do right now tonight, even though this is a new study to us. That's what we're getting ready to do. Yeah, I think we've all stumbled like that, Brother Dave. I stumbled like that. Have I really, really, has the camera been on or off?
On that I've seen.
All right, that's cool.
Well, but I've been bouncing between all four screens, so.
Now, I want to ask Mary's question again, and then I declare right now tonight all of our connections function properly. Mary said, this is in Zoom, I always thought after Jesus' death, he went to the bellows of hell and fought the keys of hell. I have been corrected from bellows to bowels. Can't find either. And you can answer it whenever that shows up. And really, it's not the word bellows, it's the word bowels. I'm not sure which translation that comes from. That's just a translation of the center of the earth. Jesus said, in the New King James, Jesus said, just as Jonah was 3 days in the belly of the great fish, so he would be 3 days and three nights in the center of the earth. Now, let me see here. Matthew 12:40. Let's go look at that. Matthew 12:40. This sets up our verses for tonight. Matthew, actually, it's going to be Matthew chapter 12 and verse 38 through 42. Here we go. 38. Some of the scribes and Pharisees answered, saying, Teacher, we want to see a sign from you. But he answered and said, An evil and adulterous generation seeks after a sign, and no sign will be given to it except the sign of Jonah. I really want to see people's comments because I really like it when you guys make comments. Makes the whole program a better program. Mm-hmm. The sign of Jonah, 40. For as Jonah was 3 days and three nights in the belly of the great fish, so the Son of Man will be 3 days and three nights of the earth, or the center of the earth. Now, Jesus is all through his ministry, teaching this principle to the scribes and Pharisees. Well, anybody actually who is there and will listen. He is teaching them that he's gonna die in 3 days and three nights. He is going to be, isn't that just something, in the center of the earth. Sorry. My Bible program just did not work like it was supposed to right there. And I'm really not sure what that's all about. Now, Jesus finishes this up. The men of Nineveh will rise up in judgment with this generation and condemn it because they repented at the preaching of Jonah, and indeed a greater than Jonah is here with you. Speaking of himself, Jesus is like, Nineveh repented. You guys aren't repenting. And I'm standing right here in front of you. Christ. 42. The queen of the south will rise up in judgment with this generation and condemn it. For she came from the ends of the earth to hear the wisdom of Solomon, and indeed a greater than Solomon is here. What Jesus is saying to him is, I'm standing right in front of you, and you're not seeking to see if I'm telling you the truth. You're just mocking. And you're holding on to your religious indoctrination stronger and heavier than what you're holding on to the truth that I'm showing you right here in front of your eyes. So he said, the men of Nineveh will judge you. Queen of Sheba, she'll judge you. Isn't that something? Why? Because they opened up their mouth and heart and heard. And then Jesus goes right into the parable of the sower as he's teaching them this, because he's like, whoever receives the revelation and plants this word in their heart will reap a hundredfold return of what it is I'm putting into your life. Which means this revelation knowledge comes. And the more of the understanding of God's word you get, the greater that understanding is. Now, let's go to our verses tonight about the bowels of the earth. And let's answer this. So go with me to Ephesians chapter 4. We were there last night. Ephesians 4. And we're going to read verses 7 through 10. Ephesians 4, 7 through 10. Yeah, amen, Roger. Somebody shout, I love the word. I love the word. Let's get this out here and that out there and get that out there.
Well, we're glad you made it back, Mary. So bellows, bowels equals center, yes?
Yes.
What verse is it from?
The bowels, I don't know. It's the word bowels is the same word of center, but I don't know what translation that word is in.
Rebecca and Dave, I love the word.
So what we'd have to do is just sit down and study the word bowels. I mean, somebody could do it right now if you wanted to, but you'd have to sit there and study the word bowels out of all the different translations till you actually found the translation that it was in. And that could take you 2 minutes, and it could take you 2 hours, because depending on what version of the King James Version that's in, that's what that's going to tell you. The earth doesn't have a bowel like a digestive tract. Jesus didn't go anywhere into somebody's digestive tract. So with that verse, it's this principle that it's talking about that Mary's question is coming from. Let's read it. Ephesians 4, 7. But to each one of us, grace was given according to the measure of Christ's gift. Say this. I have grace. To understand this teaching tonight. Amen. You have grace. God's grace is working in you right now to come to a greater revelation tonight and see something you've never seen before. Verse 8. Therefore, he says that he's capitalized. When he ascended on high, who ascended on high? Jesus did. We read it last night, Acts chapter 1. He, Jesus, led captivity captive, and then he gave gifts to men. Well, verse 9. Now this, he ascended, what does it mean? But that he also descended into the lower parts of the earth. Now, when you take that word, lower parts of the earth, and you take that translation, and you compare it to many of the different translations. Whoops. Come on now. Let me just do this. I'm going to share this so you can see it. Now, you might have to squint because I can't make this print any larger on this program, but you'll be able to see it. Okay, let's do the right thing here. There we go. Now, I'm in verse 9. So these are all the these are some of the translations I have on my Bible. The King James Version says he descended first into the lower parts of the earth, right up here at the top. You can see that. The American Standard Version says he descended into the lowest parts of the earth. The ABP says lowest parts of the earth. The BBE says he went down into the lower parts of the earth. The Contemporary English Version says all of those say lower parts. The ESV says the lower regions right here. Descended into the lower regions of the earth. I thought maybe we might just get it right here, but it didn't happen. Here we go. And the Spanish says, esta expresión haciendo que significa sino que él también había descendido a la profundidades de la tierra. Did you get it? Sometimes when you want a good translation to read, read the Spanish. It's just really good to have somebody there that can understand it. But literally what this means is this is what happened to Jesus because he had to bear the sins of this world on his body. And so you and I got to look at this and say, at some point, Jesus had to go to hell. Now, I know that really, really messes with some people's minds that Jesus had to go to hell. Matter of fact, I think it's pretty cool. Brother Copeland said one day that a man showed up at a meeting of his. He said, I could see him coming the back door of this smaller church. And he said, I could tell he was coming for me. And he said, he had ill intent in his heart as he was coming at me. And he said, I just said to Jesus, well, here he comes. And he said, I started praying in the Holy Ghost. And he said he got about 10 feet from the platform and the Holy Spirit hit him. Out he went, knocked him out in the Holy Ghost. And when the man came back to, he was speaking in tongues. And he's after the service, he came up to Brother Copeland. He said, I was coming for you. And he's like, well, what was you coming for? He said, I had some people come over here last night to your meeting, and they said, you said Jesus went to hell, and I was just coming over here to deal with you tonight because my Jesus did not go to hell. And he said, when I got here, Jesus looked at me and said, if I hadn't gone to hell, you would never make it, Buster, because this man was a born-again truck driver that had lived a really rough life and got born again, and God called him to preach. And he said, I don't know what I'm going to do now because I not only did I got that doctrine straightened out. I'm praying in the Holy Ghost, and I love it. Don't you just love how God deals with things? Let's do this. I'm back in Ephesians chapter 4. See, look at what it says. When he did ascended on high, what does it say? But he also descended into the lower parts of the earth. Now, I don't know why this didn't update. Let's go to Psalm 68. Psalm 68. Because Jesus preached to the captives. We're going to read that in a little bit. Psalm 68. And isn't that cool? I didn't underline the verse.
Uh-oh.
So here it is. Everybody just hang on for a second.
We're hanging on.
That's something. Anyways, I thought this is the one that said, you will not leave my soul in hell. And I just wrote Psalm 68. Am I in the right one? Yeah, I am. Well, thank you, Lord. There ain't no place in this. There it is. 68:18. You have ascended on high. You have led captivity captive. You have received gifts among men, even from the rebellious, that the Lord God might dwell there. Blessed be the Lord who daily loads us with benefits, the God of our salvation. It's prophesied. This is a psalm of David in 68:18. That Jesus would ascend on high, he would lead captivity captive and give gifts to men. And that's the exact same thing that it says over there in Ephesians chapter 4. So you got an Old Testament prophet, David, who is making the prophecy. And you got Jesus, who actually went and did it. And you have the Apostle Paul, led by the Holy Spirit, to refer to David and Jesus to solidify this doctrine on the inside of us. What did he do? He first ascended. He who ascended is he who first descended into the lower parts of the earth. Now, let's look at another one. David is prophesying in chapter 69. And let's go to verse 13. Yeah. 69. Let's go to verse 1.
Isaiah.
Psalm 69. Sorry about that. One. This whole psalm has got verses about Jesus. But I'm gonna just do a couple. Verse 1. Save me, O God, from the waters, for the waters have come up to my neck. I sink in deep mire, for there's no standing. I've come into deep waters where the floods overflow me. I am weary with my crying. My throat is dry. My eyes fail while I wait for my God. Those who hate me without a cause are more than the hairs of my head. They are mighty who would destroy me, being my enemies wrongfully. Though I have stolen nothing, I still must restore it. This is a prayer that Jesus is praying. But this is a prayer that David's praying.
Yeah.
Verse 5. Oh, God, you know, David said, oh, God, you know my foolishness. My sins are not hidden from you. Now, see, that's not Jesus. But look at verse 6. Let not those who wait for you, O Lord God of hosts, be ashamed because of me. Let not those who seek you be confounded because of me. Because for your sake I have borne reproach. Shame has covered my face. I've become a stranger to my brothers and an alien to my mother's children. Because zeal for your house has eaten me up, and the reproaches of those who reproach me, you have fallen on me. This is a prophecy of Jesus.
Mm-hmm.
When I wept and chastened my soul with fasting, that became my reproach. I also made sackcloth my garment and became a byword to them. Those who sit in the gate speak against me, and I'm the song of the drunkards. See, when you begin to see all of these words written by different people all through the Bible, you can just see it everywhere. Once your eyes get open to it, you'll just be reading like, wow, there's another verse right there that's talking about Jesus. Now, let's go to 16. Hear me, O Lord, for your loving kindness is good. Turn to me according to the multitude of your tender mercies. Do not hide your face from your servant, for I am in trouble. Hear me speedily. Draw near to my soul and redeem it. Deliver me because of my enemies. You know my reproach, my shame, and my dishonor. My adversaries are all before you. Reproach has broken my heart, and I am full of heaviness. I looked for someone to take pity, but there was none. For comforters, but I found none. Look at 21. They also gave me gall for my food, and for my thirst, they gave me vinegar to drink. All right. Let their table become a snare before them, and their well-being a trap. Let their eyes be darkened so they do not see, and make their loins shake continually. Now, let's go back to Ephesians chapter. Wait, I got to deal with my phone here because. For some reason, this document didn't jump over there to that document. Not quite sure why. Wait, let me try this and this. And we'll go like that and see if I can get them to jump over to my phone where they belong. There we go. Where was Jesus? Now, so we've been in Ephesians 4. 7 through 10, Jesus ascended on high, led captivity captive. But what does it say? He first went down. He first descended. Go with me to 1 Peter 3, 18 and 19. We got to lay this out. I know we were here last night, but just do it again. Watch where we're going to end up tonight. Are you watching for other questions? All right. 1 Peter 3, 18 and 19. For Christ also suffered once for sins, the just for the unjust. See, that's people are like, well, why would Jesus go to hell? Well, because he bore the sins of the world. And he had to be born again from the dead so that you and I could be born again from our spirits being dead and be brought back to life. We'll get to that. That he might bring us to God, being put to death in the flesh, but made alive by the Spirit, by whom also he went and preached to the spirits in prison. Now, he did that during the time he's in the tomb. Well, where's the prison that they're in? It's not Herod's or Pilate's prison. It's hell. Let's keep reading. who formerly were disobedient when once the divine long-suffering waited in the days of Noah while the ark was being prepared, in which a few, 8 souls, were saved through water. There's also an antitype, which now saves us, baptism. Not the removal of the flesh, filth of the flesh, but the answer of a good conscience toward God through the resurrection of Jesus Christ. He rose from the dead, and that's what happens when you and I go down into water. We're brought back up alive, and we are rose again. Verse 22 is God into the heavens and is at the right hand of God, angels and authorities and powers having been made subject to him. Jesus went to Hades and preached to the captives in that place, and those captives, he led captivity captive. Jesus went down there. Now, one of the things this one says, verse 19 says, he preached. When you go and look at that word in the Greek, the word preach in the Greek, literally it means to make a proclamation. So there, I've not found the biblical record of what he preached. But we know he led captivity captive, so he had to preach the message that said, you don't have to be captive anymore.
Yeah.
So let's just hold your place right there in 1 Peter 3:18. And let's go to Luke, Mark. Luke chapter 4. Mark and Luke were having an arm wrestle, and Luke won. Luke 4. This is what Jesus was anointed to preach. So what do you think he preached to the captives? Probably exactly what he heard the Father say, probably exactly what he saw the Father do, and Jesus preached the same message the whole time he was here. Right? The Spirit, verse 18 and 19. Spirit of the Lord is upon me. He's anointed me to preach the gospel to the poor. What else is he going to preach? That's what he was anointed for. Sent me to heal the brokenhearted. Ready? To proclaim liberty to the captives. What do you think he preached to the captives? Liberty. I just told you I don't know what Jesus preached when he went there, and I think I got my answer that fast.
Your answer.
Isn't that something, how the Holy Spirit works? Cover his sight to mind, set at liberty. Set at liberty those who are oppressed, and to proclaim, this is the acceptable year of the Lord. Now, let me grab my next verse here. I want you to see this picture. Oh, don't you just love the Word of God?
We do.
And I really love it when I write the right reference now. Luke. Yeah, Luke 23:46. Now watch this. Say it with me. I am a spirit.
I am a spirit.
I have a soul.
I have a soul.
And I live in the body.
And I live in the body.
Luke 23:46. Now watch this. When Jesus had cried out with a loud voice, he said, Father, to your hands I commit my spirit. Was Jesus' spirit righteous or sinful?
Righteous.
So where did his spirit go? Ready? When you die, where do you go?
To heaven.
To heaven, amen. Where is your body go?
To heaven,
your body goes into the earth.
Oh, that's true, yes.
Pour into an urn. No, Sister Leanne's all right. Everybody, it's okay.
Yeah, it's all right.
Watch. What's the point of this? Where was Jesus' body laying on that slab of stone? Where was his spirit? He just said it right there. Into thy hands I commend my spirit. Where was his soul? In hell. Everybody's like, hold on everything right there, Pastor. You better be proving that one. All right? I gotta dig it up because my references are not right in this note I took today. Now, I don't recommend, if you're going to teach, that you don't write down the right references.
Wrong references.
All right? Because you will end up saying, where did that verse go? And you were diligently doing your best to write it. But sometimes I get going real fast and then I'm talk texting. And then it comes out, rather than Psalm, it says same. And then it says 23, 23, 23, you know, and you're like, what is that? What did you just do? All right?
That's what Roger was just talking about.
Matthew chapter 20.
And sometimes we talk.
Matthew chapter 10, verse 28. Do not fear those who kill the body, but cannot kill the soul. Man might kill your body, but they can't kill your soul or your spirit. But rather fear him who is able to destroy both soul and body in hell. Who's that? Him is capitalized. That's God. Now, I'm going to have to just hold on a second, because it seems that this verse I'm trying to quote is over here in the King James. Psalm 16. Jesus, help me. Psalm 16. This is what Jesus said. 16, 7 through 11. I will bless the Lord who has given me counsel. My reins also instruct me in the night season. I have set the Lord always before me. He's at my right hand. I shall not be moved. Therefore, my heart is glad and my glory rejoices. My flesh also shall rest in hope. Verse 10. For thou wilt not leave my soul in hell. Neither wilt thou suffer or allow your Holy One to see corruption. So, for Jesus' body decayed, he came back to life. He did not have a bone in his body broken, and he just said, God will not leave my soul in hell. That means he had to go to hell. It almost sounds bad to say those words, but nobody be offended at it. I was not cursing, okay? Thou wilt show me the path of life, in the presence is fullness of joy. At thy right hand are pleasures forevermore. Now, go back with me to 1 Peter 3, 18 and 19. Christ also suffered for sin. John 3. Watch this verse now. 1 John chapter 3, hold on. There it is. 7 through 9. We're going to read 7 through 16. Little children, let no one deceive you. Practices righteousness is righteous, just as he, capitalized, is righteous. Did Jesus practice righteousness?
Yeah.
Yes. Literally. He was the sinless example, Hebrews chapter 9. He who sins is of the devil. For the devil has sinned from the beginning. So once you get righteous, you got to stop sinning. Once you're born again, you got to stop sinning. But you might say, I don't know how to stop sinning. You won't. You got to receive his righteousness. Awake to righteousness and you won't sin. Verse 8. For this purpose, the Son of God was manifested, that he might destroy the works of the devil. So that's what Jesus was doing his whole time on earth and his whole time in the grave. He was destroying the works of the devil. And when you go back to Colossians 2:15, he marched them through the street naked, making a public open shame of them. Verse 9. But God does not sin, for his seed, God's seed, remains in him, and he cannot sin because he's been born of God. 10. In this, the children of God and the children of the devil are manifest. Whoever does not practice righteousness is not of God, nor is he who does not love his brother. For this is the message you heard from the beginning, that we should love one another. Not as Cain, who was of the wicked one and murdered his brother. So the Holy Spirit just used John to go clear back to Genesis chapter 3 or 4 and brought it right to the front. And why did he murder him? Because his works were evil and his brother's works were righteous. Cain was filled with the devil. Abel loved God. Cain hated his brother because God accepted Abel's offering and didn't accept his, but he didn't bring the right offering. And God said to Cain, well, if you do good, won't you be accepted? But sin lies at your door. Keep reading. 13, do not marvel, my brethren, if the world hates you. We know that we have passed from death to life because we love the brethren. He who does not love his brother abides in death. If you do not love your brother, you abide in death.
Wow.
You cannot take that verse out of the Bible. And I'm going to tell you right now, it's not in all my don't be offended by your brother verses, but it needs to get there because I don't even have it underlined. I'm not sure why my secretary didn't underline it for me. But she's not reading your Bible, Pastor. You got to read your own. Oh, I got it. 15. Whoever hates his brother is a murderer, and you know that no murderer has eternal life abiding in him. That means if you are a murderer in prison tonight, if you were a murderer at some point and went to prison and you're born again, God considers you no longer a murderer. He considers you born again. Here we go, verse 16. By this we know love, because he, Jesus, laid down his life for us. And we ought to lay down our life for others. Why did Jesus come? To destroy the works of the devil. But there was only one place he was going to get that done. And he literally had to go to hell to deal with the devil there. Now, let me look at another one here. Everybody just keep pausing because my notes kind of got all turned around here. But it'd be all right. Isn't that something? I turned to the exact page I needed to be at. Isn't that something?
Thank you, Holy Spirit.
Now listen. I'm going to give us a string of verses here. This is the fact that Jesus must suffer and die for sin. Now, I don't have time. Oh, my goodness, sakes alive. I do not have time to give you time to turn to all these verses, but I want to read them. All right? Isaiah 53, 4. Surely he has borne our griefs and carried our sorrows. Yet we esteemed him stricken, smitten by God, and afflicted. Look at that verse. Jesus was smitten by God and afflicted by God. He's the only one. Because he had to bear it for us. John 15:13. Greater love has no man than this. Then he would lay down his life for his friends. If you're making comments, glory be to God. Hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus. I just can't see him. All right. Oh, we're still sharing the screen, aren't we? That's why I couldn't see anybody's comments. I had no idea. Where'd all the comments go? John 18:14. It was Caiaphas who advised the Jews that it was expedient that one man should die for the people. That's Caiaphas, the high priest, saying, it is written in the law that one man's going to die for the people. Well, Caiaphas didn't see him as the Christ, or he probably wouldn't have killed him. 2 Corinthians 8:9. For you know the grace of our Lord Jesus Christ, that though he was rich, yet for your sakes he became poor. He took on poverty, that you through his poverty might be made rich. He left the glory of heaven, the splendor of heaven, to come to this earth, which is sin-stricken, sin submitted to the devil. Jesus did it for you and I. Galatians 1:4. He gave himself for our sins that he might deliver us from this present evil age according to the will of God our Father. This is some good verses, isn't
yeah.
it? Don't you just love how God sets this stuff up? Even though my notes turned out wrong, it don't matter. I wrote them right. It just didn't turn out right, all right? Watch this. Ephesians 5:2. And walk in love as Christ also has loved us and given himself for us an offering and a sacrifice to God for a sweet-smelling aroma. Children of Israel were told to make a sacrifice for a sweet-smelling aroma to God. Now watch this. Titus 2:14. Who gave himself for us that he might redeem us from every lawless deed and purify for himself his own special people, zealous for good works. Don't you just love how this is all going on? I love it. Hebrews 9:26. He then would have had to suffer often since the foundation of the world, but now, once at the end of the ages, he has appeared to put away sin by the sacrifice of himself. Now guys, what are we proving here? Jesus went to hell to destroy the power of the devil, to preach to the captives, and to forever provide the way of being raised from the dead, born again, the firstborn of many brethren, is what Jesus did. Revelation 1:5. And from Jesus Christ, the faithful witness, the firstborn from the dead. I mean, there's my verse. The firstborn from the dead and the ruler over the kings of the earth, to him who loved us and washed us from our sins in his own blood. Somebody say, thank you, Jesus.
Thank you, Jesus.
You suffered and died for me. Now watch this. Let's grab another one. 3489. If you got a Thompson chain, I'm going to 3489.
Revelation?
Huh?
Revelation 3489?
No. I'm in Thompson chain 3489.
Oh.
Wait a minute. read my number wrong. Wow. 34.89. I mean, no. Genesis 3.15. Are you putting all these in the list? Sister Leanne will have all these for you in the family thread so you'll be able to study all this together. And just wonder how they got it in my mind at Grace Simpson. All right, here we go. Well, Mary, a lot of people use that word bowel, but that's just the old King James word. It means the center of. You think about your bowels, they're the center of your being. It's all of it. And that's why I recommend you read the New King James, not the Old King James, because those words we don't even use in our modern day. And you might say, well, yeah, but that's changing the Bible. It's not changing the Bible. It's giving the Bible more definition. That's why you see me go to many different translations, because every translation is going to mistranslate a few words. But when you get to the principle of the harmony of God's word, then it won't be mistranslated. Here we go. Got to read it, Genesis 3:15. I will put enmity between you and the woman, between your seed and her seed. He shall bruise your head, and you shall bruise his heel. That's what Jesus did. He went and crushed the devil. Psalm 69:20. Reproach has broken my heart. I am full of heaviness. I look for someone to take pity, but there is none. And for comforters, but I found none. That's Jesus at the whipping. Isaiah 50, verse 6. I gave my back to those who struck me, and my cheeks to those who plucked out my beard. I do not hide my face from shame and spitting. But he was bearing every bit of this for you and for me.
No. Come on, Mark. No.
It's okay.
Mark.
Talking about Jesus going to hell and the cats gets crazy.
Yeah.
All right. Here we go.
That water right there behind you. See it? That water, that's clear.
Now I'm in Psalm 53 and verse 5. 53, Isaiah 53, 3 and 5. He is despised and rejected, a man of sorrows and acquainted with grief, and we hid, as it were, our faces from him. He was despised, and we did not esteem him. He was wounded for our transgression. He was bruised for our iniquity. The chastisement of our peace was on him. By his stripes were healed. Zechariah chapter 13, verse 6. And one will say to him, what are these wounds between your arms? And he will answer, those with which I was wounded in the house of my friends. Wow. Zechariah 13, verse 6. All right. Mark 15, 34. And at the ninth hour, Jesus cried out with a loud voice, saying, Eli, Eli, lama sabachthani, which is translated, my God, why have you forsaken me? The Father had to turn his face and
yeah,
look away.
Can you imagine? Oh, yeah.
Luke 22:44, and being in agony, he prayed more earnestly. Then his sweat became like great drops of blood falling to the ground. Hebrews 2:10. It was fitting for him for whom are all things and by whom are all things, in bringing many sons to glory, to make the captain of their salvation perfect through suffering. Hebrews 5:8. Though he was a son, yet he learned obedience by the things which he suffered. Now see, guys, all of these verses are establishing what Jesus did when he went, when he was, when his body was laid on the slab and his spirit is in the hands of the Father and his soul is dealing with the devil. Now, of course, his spirit and soul were dealing with the devil, but Jesus first said to the Father, into thy hands I commit my spirit. And he took care of him. Hebrews 13:12. Therefore, Jesus also, that he might sanctify the people with his own blood outside the gate. What's that mean? He was crucified on Golgotha outside the gate of the city. And the sins of the whole world were put on him. And because they took him down before the sunset, he was, the sins of the whole earth was put on Jesus. 1 Peter 1:11. Searching what or what manner of time the Spirit of Christ who was in them was indicating when he testified beforehand the sufferings of Christ and the glories that would follow. He'd suffer and then glory would come of it. 1 Peter 2:21. For to this you were called, because Christ also suffered for us, leaving us an example that you should follow his steps. And then my last one, and then I got so many more right here that I could use, but I'm gonna have to just leave it where it is so that 1 Peter 3:18 is my last verse. Well, it's not the last one, but
for tonight.
1 Peter 3:18 is my last verse. Well, it's not my last one, but for tonight. Here we go. Watch this. Have you guys been enjoying this tonight? I got to tell you something about me tonight. Thank you, Jesus. You gave me life, saved me, died for me. And now and forever, it'll be Vente Center. Amen. You tell them yes. Amen, Mary. I hope you've been enjoying this because in all reality, I said to you early on this week, this is not a message.
Wow, that, good job, Rebecca.
This is not a message that I've ever preached before. So I'm out here kind of like a water walking disciple with the Holy Spirit just saying, and where are we going next? And where are we going next? And where are we going next? And I would recommend everybody listen to the last three nights again. Why? Because even Pastor Sam's going to listen to them again. Why? Because it's going to bring a revelation to us that we haven't seen before. And it's going to take us to a new place in God. Jesus suffered for you and I. And he had to go to hell. So Jesus went to the right hand of God. Yes. After he had spent 40 days showing himself to his disciples on this earth. It's all right, Rebecca. You did a good job. And,
yes,
and Leanne's going to have them all, put them up in the family thread. So you'll have record of them all. All right. Now, I want to say one more thing here before we're finished tonight that'll kind of put all of this together so that you and I so it's all together. Here we go. Let's go to 1 Peter 2:21-25. 1 Peter 2:21-25. For to this you were called, because Christ also suffered for us, leaving us an example that you should follow in his steps, who committed no sin, nor was deceit found in his mouth. Not even deceit was found in his mouth. 23, who when he was reviled did not revile in return. And when he suffered, he did not threaten, but committed himself to him, that him's capitalized, who judges righteously, who himself bore our sins in his own body on the tree, that we, having died to sin, might live for righteousness, by whose stripes you were healed. For you were like sheep going astray, but have now returned to the shepherd and to the overseer of your soul. Say it with me. Thank God that I have returned. Amen. Thank God that I have returned to our God. Now, let me grab that one verse again. I want that one verse. This is a new verse for me today. Zechariah 13:6. And one will say to him, what are these wounds between your arms? And he will answer those with which I was wounded in the house of my friends. And actually, Jesus, I've never heard anybody use this verse. For healing. But he was wounded for our transgression. And when it says, what are these wounds between your arms? That's on his back. That's those stripes. And he will answer them. Those with which I was wounded in the house of my friends. Literally. The high priest said, crucify, beat him with stripes. Certainly Pilate and, you know, the political leaders gave their word. But Jesus was literally beaten by his own friends. Look at verse 7. Awake, O sword, against my shepherd, against the man who is my companion, says the Lord of hosts. That's Jesus. Strike the shepherd, and the sheep will be scattered. Then I will turn my hand against the little ones. Shall come to pass in all the land, says the Lord, that 2/3 in it shall be cut off and die, but 1/3 in it shall be left. And now he goes right out of that into prophesying about the end times. If you don't love this book, because you never got around somebody that's determined to study it every single day to put that appetite on the inside of you and help you just stay focused until you finally get all the distractions put in the right place where you'll actually get this book out and say, Jesus, help me see who you are. Yeah. And to think that God gives you and I access to being one with him. This is my last verse. Is John 17:20-26. This is Jesus' prayer for his disciples and for you and me. Well, it is sick, Rebecca, to be beaten by your own friends, but it's what Jesus had to do so he could be the faithful high priest. I do not pray for these alone, but all for those who will believe in me through their word. I love this. That they all may be one. What's left after the word all is done?
Nothing.
Nothing. That they all may be one as you, Father, are in me, I in you. That they, speaking of us, also may be one in us. That the world may believe that you sent Jesus. And the glory which God the Father gave Jesus, Jesus said, I have given them that they may be one just as we are one. I in them, you in me, that I may be made perfect in one. And that the world may know that you have sent me and have loved them as you have loved me. Say it with me. Jesus loves me.
Jesus loves me.
Just like he loved. Wait. The Father loves me.
Father loves me.
Just like he loved Jesus.
Just like he loved Jesus.
I know. There's religious people that are like, what did you just say? I just read the Bible. Somebody shout, preach the word. I love the word. God bless the word. Something. Sister Phyllis, are you shouting? I haven't been able to see anybody's comments tonight.
I've just been saying love the word.
All right. Well, everybody in the Zoomers, just open your mic and say, hallelujah, thank God for the word or something.
Feeling lonesome.
Well, you know, usually everybody's saying amen and putting comments in, asking questions, making stuff. And I was rocking and rolling tonight, and I didn't even get everything done I wanted to say. I still got a whole bunch of stuff to say, but we don't have time because
study tonight, Pastor.
Thank
I learned,
you. Thank you, Mary.
You're welcome.
Thank you.
That's
and,
very interesting. Very good. Very good. Amen. Well, it's nice when you can learn something.
No comments allowed.
I learn something every time I'm on here. But it's really nice to have that wow moment. Yeah. Thank you.
Yeah. Well, I got a wow moment just because it all came together like it did tonight after that note didn't get over there to that note. And yet, bam, there it all was right in the center where it is. I'm in awe as much. But most of all, thank God for the Holy Spirit. We worked hard today. And I would have loved to have another 5 hours of studying tonight before this, but that's not how the day worked, but it doesn't matter. It's not about me. It's not about you. It is about us. And it's about us listening to the voice of the Holy Spirit and letting him take us into this word. I hope I can get away with saying that I love all. Oh, I got you, Phyllis.
We love you, too.
You weren't
Phyllis.
Allowed to make any comments tonight. Oh, that's why nobody's comments are coming.
Oh, yeah.
Now, listen, no matter how much they tell you you can't make comments, just keep making them. Isn't that sad? Go ahead, Mary.
I just wanted to clarify if my brain is thinking correctly that when Jesus died, his spirit went to heaven to be with God. His soul went to hell to fight Satan.
Well, yeah. I think.
And then he arose after that.
Right. He arose a complete being. So
correct.
When Jesus went to hell. Yeah, and Rebecca made that's kind of crazy. Anyways, when Jesus went to hell, he had to go there in the spirit, and it's your spirit is what goes to hell, right? And your soul, because You can see, you can hear, you can feel, you can taste. All of your senses are there. That's your soulless realm. So your spirit and your soul would be what goes to hell if a person went to hell. No different than when you go to heaven, your spirit and your soul go there, but your body stays on this earth, is put in the ground, earn whatever's done. So even though Jesus said, into thy hands I commend my spirit, I just found that awesome today when it hit me, like, wait a minute. One of the last things Jesus said is, I commit my spirit to you. But he can't go to hell and fight the devil without his spirit, man, because it was his spirit, man, that was the perfect spirit. And that's the same with you. But yeah, it was it's like we taught that message a couple months ago about spirit, soul, and body. And then you're like, wait, there's Jesus. Mm-hmm. His body's on a cement, slab. He said to the Father, here's my spirit. Yet he went to hell to fight the devil. So his spirit, man, went there to fight that devil. And then, of course, when he came back to earth, then he could walk in and out of rooms and through walls. I love it. He came in with the disciples and ate fish. We'll see that starting this next week. We're going to see the things that Jesus did after he came back to earth. He'd walk through the wall and say, hey, guys, how you doing? And they'd be like, all right, Jesus, that's all right. We're glad you're here. But it's kind of freaking me out, man, when you just walk in here like that. It's not really working good for my insecurities. And he's going to say, he that destroyed the power of death, that is the devil. I destroyed him. Quit being afraid. And then, of course, once they were filled with the Holy Spirit, they had no more fears. They just had to deal with their soulish realm in Jesus' mighty name. Well, all right. We got to stop. It's time to take communion. Let's pray. We'll close this up. We're not done in any sense of the word with this revelation. However, we are moving. So let's pray. Father, in the name of Jesus, thank you that your word, you sent your word and healed our disease. You sent your word. You said, you will know the truth, the word, and it will set you free. Jesus is the word made flesh that dwelled among us, and we beheld him as the only begotten of the Father, full of grace and truth. Thank you, Lord, that tonight, by the Spirit of God, you took us to a whole new level. And it was all over the whole word. And we'll go back and study it again. Help us, Father, that we will always make the study of your word the most important factor in our life.
Amen.
And learn to deal with the distractions and yet still be one of the most valuable members of our community and the society. Close to you, that relationship with you, Father. Jesus, thank you that you reconciled me to the Father. You didn't impute any sin against me. Matter of fact, you said they've been justified just as if I never sinned. Thank you that you showed us this year what you're doing in those 3 days. We can run in the power of it in Jesus' mighty name. Bless this time of communion. Bless every person who will come and view these videos. May their lives be changed forever. I pray this in the mighty name of Jesus. Amen. And amen. And amen. Thank you, Holy Spirit, for your word tonight in Jesus' mighty name. In Jesus' mighty name. For all of those of you on Blog Talk Radio, YouTube, Facebook Live, that we don't see you, but you're with us every night. You're with us very regularly. We love you. And those of you whose names we can see, we pray for you by name. And those of you that we can see, you're watching, but we don't know your names, we may not pray for you by name, but you can rest assured that we pray for you because we believe in you and appreciate your friendship and partnership from all around the world.
Amen.
Now, we're going to receive communion. So we're going to read the verses out of the Bible about communion. We'll pray the prayer of salvation so everybody's right with God. And then we'll receive the elements together. Tonight, I'm in Luke 22, 14 through 23 again. It's all right. I'm glad you put those verses in. Thank you for that. Because I like to keep the verses in front of us because it helps us. More you can't hear me at all. You probably got to turn your volume up because my situation hasn't changed at all that I can see. Can everybody else hear me? Francetta, can you hear me?
Yeah, can hear you.
All right, thanks, guys. Here we go. Luke 22. When the hour had come, he sat down and the 12 apostles with him. Then he said to them, with fervent desire, I have desired to eat this Passover with you before I suffer. For I say to you, I will no longer eat of it until it is fulfilled in the kingdom of God. The disciples probably like, what does that mean? You know? Then he took the cup and gave thanks and he said, take, divide it among yourselves. For I say to you, I will not drink of the fruit of the vine until the kingdom of God comes. 19, he took the bread and gave thanks and he broke it. He gave it to them saying, this is my body, which is given for you. Do this in remembrance of me. He also took the cup after supper saying, this cup is the new covenant in my blood, which is shed for you. But behold, the hand of my betrayer is with me on the table. And truly, Son of Man goes as it has been determined. But woe to the man by whom he is betrayed. 1 Corinthians 11:26. As often as you eat this bread and drink this cup, you proclaim the Lord's redemptive work until he comes. Verse 28, let a man examine himself. You've got to do the exam. And so let him eat of the bread and drink of the cup. For if we would judge ourselves, we would not be judged. 1 John 4:17, love has been perfected among us in this, that we might have boldness in the day of judgment. Why? Because as he is, so are we in this world. I was studying today, and I heard a preacher say that Jesus was the firstborn. And he said, it always reminds me of the birth of a child. What is the first thing that comes out when a child is born? Their head. What follows after the head? The body. Jesus was the firstborn from the dead. And what's going to follow after that? The body. Just as Jesus was resurrected, so will we be resurrected.
Amen.
It's so deep and it's so co-related. We could study for hours and never get to the end of it. Here we go. Let's pray the prayer of salvation now. Maybe you've never made Jesus the Lord of your life. This is the time to do it. Maybe you've been away from God and you're coming back. Maybe you've been around church people and they hurt you and you're like totally confused about religion, but you'd really like to receive communion with us. Well, no matter who you are, even if you're born again and filled with the Holy Spirit, pray this prayer right out loud with us. Because faith comes by hearing and hearing by the word of the Lord. And if you pray it enough with me, next thing you know, you'll be able to pray it even when I'm not here and lead others in it also. Pray this with me. Father, in the name of Jesus.
Father, in the name of Jesus.
I know I need you in my life every day.
I know I need you in my life every
day. And according
day.
To John 3:16, when I believe in you.
When I believe in you.
You give me everlasting life.
You give me everlasting life.
And I will not perish.
And I will not perish.
And I thank you for it.
And I thank you for it.
Jesus, I believe you are the Son of God.
Jesus, I believe you
and
are
rose again on the third day for me.
And rose again on the third day for me.
Put your hands out and say, I receive you into my life right now.
I receive you into my life right now.
All of your love.
All of your love.
Hold on. This is very interesting. I just heard this. There's a man named Eric watching tonight. And this is what I just heard the Holy Spirit say. Reach your hands out and bring them to you and say, I receive you, Jesus. I don't know if I've ever done that, have I? Welcome, Eric.
Welcome, Eric.
Say it with me. All of your love.
All of your love.
All of your mercy.
All of your mercy.
All of your grace.
All of your grace.
All of your righteousness.
All of your righteousness.
Filling my life.
Filling my life.
In Jesus' mighty name.
In Jesus' mighty name.
In Jesus' mighty name. Fill me with your Holy Spirit.
Fill me with your Holy Spirit.
So I live in power.
So I live in
power. Understand the word of God.
Understand the word of God.
Pray in my heavenly language.
Pray in my heavenly language.
And live a successful life.
And live a successful
life. As a believer every day.
As a believer every day.
I pray this in Jesus' mighty name.
I pray this in Jesus' mighty name.
Amen.
Amen.
And amen. Now, Eric and everybody else that's here. That's pretty amazing that God would say somebody's name out loud. But it's because he's reaching you, man.
Mm-hmm.
It's because he's reaching you. Don't go that other way. Mm-hmm. He wants you with him. This is a powerful word for somebody named Eric. Mm-hmm. In the mighty name of Jesus. I can see you. You're shaking and trembling. Wow, this is powerful. Power of God's all over you, man. Receive it. Receive it. Everybody, you might say, well, you might say, Jesus, if the power's flowing, I want it all over me. Amen. See, that's God that's touching you, not this program. It's not me. It's not Facebook, YouTube, blog talk radio. It's God has come into your room wherever you are. And he is touching your life right now. That's how serious he is about you. This is what just happened. Author and finisher of faith just came in you. The light of the world, he just came in you. Jesus, who had perfect righteousness, he just came into you. And he filled every part of your life. Yeah, I know. Eric's a little freaked out that I called his name out because he's like, how does he even know? I don't know. The Holy Spirit knows. And he just gave you a word of knowledge by a gift of the Spirit because he's showing me that you're there. And a name. I mean, have I ever done that before? I don't think I've ever done that. But I don't. It doesn't matter to me. I'll say whatever the Holy Spirit gives me to say. And he's causing you and everybody that's here to believe. Now watch this. Light of the world, the author and finisher of faith, all of righteousness is in you. And now the Father said, adopt you into the family. You're heir of God and the joint heir of Jesus. All of that just happened right now tonight. How wonderful that is. I know it feels like joy, happiness, peace. It feels like strength, might, power, dominion. It feels like one guy said, man, that's the greatest high I've ever had. He was a druggie. And he's like, that's the greatest high there ever was. And God totally set him free from all drugs he was taking. right there on the spot. Didn't need another. It was
hallelujah.
It was not even a cigarette. He was just
done with
it was,
that.
He was just totally delivered. And I know some of you are like, I'm fighting like crazy. Well, just keep fighting and receive Jesus' word. See, I can just go to preaching, right? No preaching. My email address, website's there. We want to be a blessing to you. We got hundreds of teachings that'll help you walk with God. In Jesus' mighty name. Yeah, what a wonderful testimony you have for us. May the Lord richly bless you. Amen, Mary. That's a good word. Thank you for typing that in there. And see, that's how this works, man. That's how this works.
Love it.
I think I know this, Eric. Praying for you, dude. And I ain't giving up. God is good. Ready? Here we go. Hold your elements up, man. I'll go to preaching. We'll be here another 3 hours. Pray this with me. I bless and sanctify.
I bless and sanctify.
These elements tonight.
These elements tonight.
For this time of communion with you, Lord.
For this time of communion with you,
Jesus,
Lord.
You were wounded.
Jesus, you were wounded.
For my transgression.
For my transgression.
You were bruised.
You were bruised.
For my iniquity.
For my iniquity.
The chastisement for my peace.
The chastisement for my peace.
Is upon you, Lord.
Is upon you, Lord.
And by your stripes.
And by your stripes.
I am healed.
I am
healed. In my spirit, in my soul, and in my body.
In my spirit, in my soul, and in my body.
In my mind, my will, and my emotion.
In my mind, my will, and my emotion.
Nothing missing, nothing broken.
Nothing missing, nothing broken.
Every joint supplying.
Every joint supplying.
From your body, Lord.
From your body, Lord.
In the body of Christ in my community.
In the body of Christ in my community.
And right here in this community of faith.
And right here in this community of faith.
In Jesus' mighty name.
In Jesus' mighty name.
Let's receive his body broken. Thank you, Lord. You endured the cross, despising the shame, and you called it all joy. Oh, we thank you. Now, let's lift up the cup of blessing. By the blood of Jesus.
By the blood of Jesus.
I have been redeemed.
I have been redeemed.
By the blood of Jesus.
By the blood of Jesus.
I have reconciliation.
I have reconciliation.
With you, my Father.
With you, my Father.
By the blood of Jesus.
By the blood of Jesus.
Every sin.
Every sin.
Has been placed in remission.
Has been placed in remission.
In my life.
In my life.
And I thank you for it.
And I thank you for it.
I am a new creation.
I am a new creation.
All things have passed away.
All things have passed away.
And all things have become new.
And all things have become new.
In my life.
In my life.
By the blood of Jesus,
by the blood of
I,
Jesus
come boldly
I come boldly
to the throne room of grace.
To the throne room of grace.
According to the word of
according
God.
According to the word of God.
Where I find grace, mercy, and help.
Where I find grace, mercy, and help.
For my assignment every day.
For my assignment every
by
day.
By the blood of Jesus.
By the blood of
and
Jesus.
And the word of my testimony.
And the word of my testimony.
I overcome.
I overcome.
By the blood of Jesus.
What? By the blood of Jesus.
Every
plague
has to pass over.
Has to pass
and
over.
Cannot be on me or my family.
And cannot be on me or my
family.
My
conscience is purged.
My conscience is
my
purged.
Robes are made white.
My robes are made
and
white.
I will always be.
And I will always
the glorious church.
The glorious church.
Without spot, wrinkle, or any other blemish.
Without spot, wrinkle, or any other
when
blemish.
When you come for me.
When you come for me.
In Jesus.
In Jesus' mighty name.
Let's receive the bloodshed. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Don't you love that song we sing in the afternoons? Thank you, Jesus, for the blood of Christ. I don't know it good enough to sing it, but I sure know it in the afternoon. I just get here and I don't have all the tones right. So let's sing the song we love to sing. The blood that Jesus shed for me way back on Calvary. The blood that gives me strength from day to day. It will never lose its power, for it reaches to the highest mountain, and it flows to the lowest valley. The blood that gives me strength from day to day, it will never lose its power, for it reaches to the highest mountain, and it flows to the lowest valley. Blood that gives me strength from day to day, it will never lose its power. Amen. Let's pray for Kathy. Father, pray for Sister Kathy today. You said, Jesus said, that blessed are they that mourn, for they shall be comforted. Yeah. We are probably not mourning today, but you're just missing your mom. Father, thank you that our sister has received you in her life and power of the Holy Spirit. May every memory be wonderful. Be filled with the joy of who her mom was. May Kathy's love and life and determination be to bless everyone around her as her mom did her life. Thank you that you give us memories and help us to stay on the good ones.
Amen.
And to get rid of the bad ones. Yeah. To everyone who today, Lord, don't have memories, good memories of their mom and their dad, their family. Help them to find us, the family of God, and then receive a family together. You said that everyone that gives up father, mother, sister, brother, houses, and lands for your sake and the gospel will receive all of those back. We sow the bad people as a seed, Lord, so we can reap a harvest into our lives. And we pray at this holiday season, every person, every believer has someone they can share their life with.
Yes.
And their love with. No one will be seated by themselves in their own home. In the mighty name of Jesus, we pray. Amen. And amen. And amen. Heart be healed. Anything else we got to do? I know I got to be moving because I'll just stay on here and talk to you guys all night long. And that sunrise service is coming really early. Don't be late. Sister Francetta is going to play the accordion. Okay. All right. I misjudged that. I'm not sure what I'm saying.
I was just going to say good night, people. Have a blessed night.
Bless your Sunday. Love you.
Good night, Sunday.
Love you. God bless you, ma'am. She's not. Well, here we go. Let's have our closing verses. Genesis 1:1. In the beginning, God created the heavens and the earth. And Revelation 22:21. May the grace of our Lord Jesus Christ be with you all. Amen.
Amen.
Amen. Sunrise service will be somewhere right about 7 o'clock. Said 6:55, right?
Oh, yeah.
Be right about 7 o'clock. And it'll last probably about a half an hour, depending on how cold it is. The colder it is, the shorter the battery life. And so, you know, that's what that will all be about.
That's a Central Time?
That is Eastern Michigan time.
Oh, Eastern. 7 o'clock. Okay.
That's your time, Kathy.
Yeah.
The sun will already be up over your head by the time we get a sunrise, but your sunrise is much earlier than ours.
6:30 so I can brew coffee?
Yes. 6:30 so you can brew coffee.
Actually, yeah. It could be 5:30.
Yeah, 5:30 for you if you get up for this day. Because it'll be 5:30 Central. And that's really dark because we're at the end of Central Time. Even parts of North Dakota are mountains. All right, well, till we see you again, this is what we say. Remember this. We all want Dave to be with us at 5:30 in the morning. Be standing out on top of the hill on 1804 where the big radio tower is above the door. There you go. Love you, Dave. Time zone is 20 minutes away.
Yes.
Love you, Kathy. So glad to have you with us tonight.
Yes. Love you all. Thank you for being with us.
Thank you.
Brother Roger, Sister Mary, Pastor Rick, Francetta. Glad to have you. Thank you, Francetta. Everybody pray a blessing over Sister Francetta. God bless Francetta Goss for helping us have a place to land and do this work. In the mighty name of Jesus. Bless her in her spirit, soul, and body, in her ministry, in her family, and all of her grandkids. Fill her house with food and her pockets with money.
She had a grandson baptized today, so how cool is
that? Amen.
The day before Resurrection Day.
Amen, 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 amen. All right.
And like bless you too, Rebecca.
And we bless Rebecca. And we bless Mary, Pastor Rick, Phyllis K. Raymond. Let's see, who else we forgot? Did we forget anybody?
I
would
never
Roger Oxley.
Any of you.
We would never forget any of you. Brother Dan, Sister Gwen.
Amen.
Love you guys.
Don't forget my name, Pastor. How could we forget you, Rebecca?
We would never forget you, Rebecca. I just have to pick the phone up because I'm in a hurry to get done, but I want to say I love all you guys.
We do love all you guys. All right. We'll see you bright and early in the morning.
Here we go. Zoom. Where'd you go? Zoom.
Good night.
Till we see you again, that's what we say. We love you.
We love you.
And God loves you.
And
Jesus
is Lord.
See you in a few minutes if you're on.
Oh, no.